Isn't this a sports show?
Whose name's on the intro? Beards, can you remind me whose name's on the intro?
Almost entirely.
Almost entirely sports with...
the fourth best radio show host in Kansas City. What'd you do today, Charlie?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe, the fourth best sports talk radio personality in Kansas City.
We're number four. We're number four. We're number four. We're number four. I'm number four. You can go to hell.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I'd probably upset somebody, right?
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Stirring up belief is my favorite.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Today might be one of those days. Today might be one of those days where you just get a big old spoon and you just start stirring. We are going to talk about Marcus Peters and Clark Hunt. A couple reports came out last night. In fact, right as we were wrapping up the show, we touched on it very briefly late in the show yesterday. And it demands more conversation. And we're going to have to do a whole bunch by way of if this, then that. But it's sports talk radio. I was telling some of this on Twitter yesterday. So listen, I'm going to be very, very honest. I know this is just a private conversation. Like right now, I know that I'm just talking to Beards and that no one else can hear this. Just a private conversation. So I'll just admit this to Beards and then hopefully no one eavesdrops. Sports talk radio would not exist if we couldn't have hypothetical, speculative conversations. I mean that. There are not enough sports to have definitive conversations for 1, 2, 3, 4 hours a day. It's impossible. You do some speculating. Today's going to be a largely speculative day. There are some things that I think, have to speculate on, and then eventually Clark Hunt is going to have to come out and then either squash the speculations or stay silent and let them live. But I'm right now at the very front end, I'm admitting this is all, a lot of this is speculative. Most of the new information we're going to be dealing with today is speculative. I have no problem admitting that, as long as now you understand that you have lost your ability to tweet me angrily and say, how do you know this? I don't. And I'll try to be careful about pointing in the direction of speculation, fact, somewhere in between, whatever. All right? Are we good? Is that enough of a disclaimer? Clark Hunt wanted Marcus Peters out because he knelt for the anthem. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Whoa!
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's not that cut and dry. Exclusive report. Marcus Peters said on the bench in the anthem, Clark Hunt said, get that mother bleeper out of here. Exclusive report. I'm kidding. I don't know that. That probably didn't happen quite that way, all right? Okay, now I've given you a disclaimer and a joke. Would you now please unclench your butt muscles? Because this conversation topic really gets some clinching going on Twitter. Started on Twitter yesterday, and oh, the clinching. So relax a little bit, and let's have like an intellectually honest conversation, okay? Huddle in. Let's talk about this reasonably. There are a couple of reports that make this hypothetical situation worth having, and I think that give us the right to have this conversation without completely pulling things out of thin air. It's a conversation of hypotheticals, but not one that is completely baseless. That is an important distinction, by the way. If I said Clark Hunt got Marcus Peters traded because he's black, I'd go, wait a second.
Whoa!
No. This is exaggeration on purpose. You go, wait a second. That's completely baseless. The Chiefs are a majority black football team. What you're saying makes literally no sense. And I would go, oh, yeah, you're right.
Now watch some cut-rate news network somewhere pull up just that itty-bitty little clip
God,
and use that.
Oh, that's going to happen. Oh, man. Honestly, it'd be fine. Just link to my Twitter, please, @JB Briscoe.
E at the end.
E at the end. Obviously, you have to stay within the confines of something reasonable, and then you can have hypothetical situations. I also do not mean to be demeaning or talking down to you, the listener, right now. because I would argue that most people who listen to the show regularly get all of this. But because of some of the conversations that I had and that I saw happening on Twitter last night, I felt like it was worth 5 minutes to lay out the parameters of this conversation. So, no harm, no shade. Just pink lemonade. Oh, that sounds refreshing, doesn't it? We gotta put that on a t-shirt. That's gotta be a t-shirt. I wanna sell t-shirts.
We need to sell t-shirts. We need to have t-shirts that we can sell.
Yes.
That's the thing.
I can do that, by the way. I can create a store pretty easy, I think. Sure. Problem is getting them sold.
All proceeds go to us.
Yeah.
Yes.
The charity of us.
100% of the profits.
Yeah.
110, actually.
Yes. We're gonna steal from the company. The t-shirt company that makes them. We're already stealing from this company.
Whoa!
I don't mean like embezzling. I mean like by being paid to be here. I digress. So that's the parameters of this conversation, okay? Lay down your tail feathers. Unclench your butt muscles. Exhale deeply. Let's talk about it. Ian Rappaport said the day of the trade, quote, Peters was not someone that owner Clark Hunt was going to pay on a long-term extension. Yesterday evening, Brandon Kiley tweeted out, quote, everything I heard, this was a mandate from the top. Parentheses, Clark Hunt wasn't paying him, and I'm not sure he was going to pay his fifth-year option either. That's Brandon Kiley quoting Jason LaCanfora on why Marcus Peters was traded on the Pick 6 podcast.
Very quickly before we go on too far.
We are too far. We're in what?
Charlie just messaged us.
This had better be good, man.
He said, I tuned in. The first thing I heard was Josh saying the Clark Hunt doesn't want Peters around because he's black. It's happening. I told you.
Yeah, Charlie is that cut rate news outlet that needs a headline. Fine. All right, but did you freaking hear what I said? The Rappaport and LaCanfora quotes? Those matter. And the idea that LaCanfora brought out there, that he wasn't sure that Clark Hunt even would have paid Marcus Peters' fifth-year option, that is supremely bothersome to me. And now, also, before we even get the whole way into this, before we get as knee-deep into this as I want to be, I think it's fair to ask a common question that I saw all over Twitter, and Seth Kaiser said it the best. He said, if this is the other area I'm struggling to figure out. If this is just an issue of Clark Hunt, then why the completely cold market for Marcus Peters? Again, please hear me here. I don't think that it can be just anything. All right? It's not just Clark Hunt or just the market or just... It's not just anything. But any amount of Clark Hunt making it personal would bother me tremendously. Other factors still impact the whole mess of trading your all-pro corner for not enough, but any amount of Clark Hunt stepping in and saying, I am not willing to pay this guy, even if you, Andy Reid, and you, Brett Veach, think it is the thing to do, I am not going to sign his checks. If that's something that Clark Hunt actually said, which is in line with LaCanfora and Rappaport's reporting, and for all the bleep we give Jason LaCanfora, rightfully so, he was right on with this story whenever this story made absolutely no sense to me. He was correct. Any amount of Clark Hunt saying, I will not sign that man's checks, is deeply, deeply concerning. It sets a terrible precedent. Here are some of the hypothetical questions that pop up if that is a reality you have to face. Will the Chiefs only pay long-term extensions to guys that Clark Hunt likes? What about guys that Clark Hunt agrees with politically? Does that come into play? What about guys who just don't really make big, loud political statements? What about just guys who aren't polarizing to fans? Will Clark Hunt sign those guys? Will he allow his money to be spent there? Do not tweet me. Some of you have already. Do not tweet me that he's the boss and he can do what he likes. Obviously, that's true. But if Clark Hunt is going to only fill out his roster with guys that he likes, he has to start speaking differently about his role on the team. At that point, the Chiefs become junior Cowboys. Kansas City Chiefs, He's baby Jerry Jones, and the Chiefs are the baby Cowboys. I don't want that. Also, Clark Hunt has said he doesn't get involved with the football decisions. Those go to Andy Reid and now Brett Veach. If Clark Hunt said, hey, you know what? Football decisions are all yours, except on Marcus Peters. I'm not paying Marcus Peters. If Clark Hunt said that, it sets a truly terrible precedent. Does Clark Hunt actually make football decisions? Do Andy Reid and Brett Veach get to fight him on stuff? What if Clark Hunt just has veto power? That seems reasonable that an owner would have veto power. Well, wait a second. Does he have veto power, or is it more than that? If he does have veto power, can he willingly make the team worse in favor of getting rid of a guy who expresses his political views, or in favor of getting rid of a guy that gives him some angry letters at One Arrowhead Drive? What if Clark Hunt uses his veto power, gets rid of a good player to have less of a PR mess on his hands? Which Marcus Peters brings. That would bother me. Because as far as I've ever heard Clark Hunt speak, and the best way that I've ever understood the job of an NFL owner, the goal is to win. If the goal is not to win, then we can change the whole conversation. But I would need for someone to admit that. And I've defended Clark Hunt at every turn when people say he doesn't care about winning, he just wants to make money. I don't think that's a fair criticism over the last decade or so. He went out and got Scott Pioli, let Pioli hire his head coach. Went out and got John Dorsey and Andy Reid, then let Andy Reid hire his own GM. Clark Hunt has spent where he can spend. Chiefs are always near the top of the salary cap. They were at the bottom of the league in actual cash spent, by the way, last year, which is interesting. I didn't know that. I think they were second to last. That graphic came out yesterday or 2 days ago. It's kind of interesting, but I digress.
Who's the bottom of that list?
I can't remember. I didn't memorize the whole list, Beards. I can't even remember the whole metric of it, so I didn't spend any more time on it. I have to go find it. Maybe we'll talk about it later in the show. I don't have it up in front of me. But if we are to believe that Clark Hunt's goal is to win, which I think is a fair thing to assume, then what causes him to use the veto power that Andy Reid or Brett Veach may use? Or even if it's not a veto, even if Andy Reid and Brett Veach said, hey, we want to keep this guy. Again, though, not signing the fifth-year option, not extending Marcus Peters the fifth-year option would have been certifiably insane. I don't care if it's $9 million for a guy that's a little bit of a head case next year. That is value for his performance, and if he pops off, then you let him go. Or you trade him before the deadline. Or you franchise tag him and then shop him around. But the idea that he wouldn't have signed off on the fifth-year option after, just for comparison's sake, last year the Chiefs gave a fifth-year option to Dee Ford. This offseason, he's going to cost like $8 or $9 million. Also, by the way, if you want to cut the guy the offseason before his fifth-year option kicks in, as long as he's not injured, which Dee Ford is, you can cut him for no loss. Chiefs' hands weren't really tied. Unless Clark Hunt said, yes, they are. We will not sign him to a fifth-year extension, which is fifth-year option. We will not extend that to him. Therefore, the Chiefs actually would have needed to trade Marcus Peters this year. And I have not, this is a sentence I have not said at any point in the last, whatever, 3-4 days. That is a way in which the trade should have been made this offseason. Is if Clark Hunt said, I'm not signing his fifth-year option. We will never pay him. I will not give him the franchise tag. I will not give him the fifth year. I will certainly not give him a long-term extension. Trade him. Get your value for him now. If that's the mindset, then it does make sense. Doing that makes no sense. Unless you have a personal vendetta against the guy. Which, again, becomes problematic. How often does Clark Hunt do that? Where does he do that? We've talked about Eric Reid on this show. Safety, that would make a ton of sense. Free agent safety would make a ton of sense with the Chiefs. He was Colin Kaepernick's main supporter in San Francisco. Could he come play here? Does that matter if he continues to kneel during the anthem? What about anybody who comes in and says that? What if there's a draftee that says in his combine interview, gets asked, hey, would you stand for the anthem or would you make a statement? If he says, hey, I'm sitting. I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to take a knee for a specific cause, whatever. Does Clark Hunt say, don't draft that guy? Those are questions that you have to ask when this door is opened. Your microphone is on, Beards.
Yeah, weren't there other guys other than just Peters and Kelsey that were kneeling?
Right, okay, so there was the 1 week after Donald Trump called NFL players mom's bitches. The next week, Kelsey and Houston and I believe Conley, a handful of guys, including those guys, knelt. And I think they all did the kneeling with their hand over their heart. Or that's what Kelsey did, I believe, at least.
Looks like West, maybe, in pictures.
It was
here.
A handful. That whole weekend, like, half of the guys in football did some sort of something.
Right.
Locking arms or kneeling or whatever. It was the whole BS unity week. We're unified over unity. Yeah, unity. But Peters did it for the longest duration.
And the most out in the open.
And this is and Peters is the one that got the public backlash.
And did it on a bike.
And sat on the bench or stayed in the locker room. And I saw too many Facebook comment sections to think that this is all these guys are created equal situation. Because they're simply not. Peters received full-throated vitriol. And there were, some of the real diehards freaked out at Kelsey and the like during that week, but Peters was the one that had the duration and the longest duration and the highest amount of venom, which caused the most problems for Clark Hunt. And so I don't think it has to be just about anything. It's not just anything. It's not just the attitude. It's not just Clark Hunt. It's not just the anthem or sitting on the bench during it. I'm not accusing Clark Hunt of cutting or of demanding that Marcus Peters be traded, or more accurately, reportedly refusing to sign him because of that. I'm not even saying it has to be because of the anthem and Peters sitting during it. I'm not demanding that it's any of those things. I'm not saying it has to be 100% any of those things. If it in any way goes to Clark Hunt saying, I'm telling you, Andy Reid, and you, Brett Veach, that we will not pick up his fifth-year option, I will not pay it, we will not franchise tag him, we will not sign him to a long-term deal, and I, Clark Hunt, and the one determining it, then the entire power structure of the Chiefs, the entire hierarchy, flips over. Or at least we have to, we have to go ahead and accept that Clark Hunt is Jerry Jones and Mark Cuban and any of the meddling owners, the great meddling owners in sports. Then Clark Hunt demands to be included in that. If he's making personnel decisions now, after time and time again saying, that's not my department. I don't make personnel decisions. I made coaching decisions, and now my coach and GM make personnel decisions. Also, Mellinger wrote, I finally got to read his column after the show yesterday. He had this as one of his paragraphs. For Clark Hunt, did he push this because he disagreed with Peter's protest during the national anthem and grew wary of fan backlash? And if so... what does that do to his reputation in the locker room, where he's already long been viewed as a league before team? Where he's already been long been viewed as league before team. I thought that was interesting, seeing Mellinger say in black and white that Clark Hunt in his own locker room is viewed as a league before team guy. And every action of his has gone that way. Again, I've long defended Clark Hunt. I did crush him after the unity week and his statement there, where the Chiefs were more or less the 16th team to come out with a statement, blended in among all the rest of the tripe that was coming out that week. of, oh, we're here for unity and we're unified over a thing, whatever we're unified over. Oh, we're unified over being unified. Link arms, unity. Where no one said anything. And Clark Hunt was just a wet noodle.
And Jerry Jones was making sweet eye love with a camera.
Yes. That week was some owners being like, yeah, you know what? Hey, Mr. President, don't call our players' mom's names. And then Jerry Jones, eye bleeping the camera in his two-tone Johnny Walker blue suit.
And making sure that camera stayed right by him.
And then going to a knee and then coming up before the flag. Yeah. That was all an Olympic floor program of just charades, going through charades about nothing. And that's what Clark Hunt is. I mean, Clark Hunt, I've said this before. I don't even think this is insulting. I think that if Chiefs PR let me within 100 yards of Clark Hunt again, I think that Clark Hunt would probably nod in agreement at this, or at least believe it in his soul. I think Clark Hunt would just like to be a zebra. Like, I think Clark Hunt just wants to be a zebra among 31 other owners. Or for, I guess, you know, the Packers are weird, but whatever. Among 30 other owners, and then however the Packers majority owner. Just blend in with the herd. Because also, these zebras are actually like robo-lions, but they have zebra stripes. Clark Hunt would love to just wrap himself up in zebra stripes, blend in with the rest of the herd, never have any reason to be singled out, be a part of the grand success of the NFL, give boring interviews, hopefully win something, spend money, have a good team, stay in the background, get shown on TV a couple times, maybe in the playoffs, hopefully again, a couple playoff wins would be nice. Soft-spoken PR guy. Again, I don't mean, truly, I don't know, Beards, you might have to check my tone. You might have to tell me this, but I don't mean any of those things as a pejorative. I don't mean any of those things as like, oh, he's this cowardly zebra who hides in the middle of other owners. I don't mean it that way.
No, I get what you mean.
Okay, good. Because I do have some Clark Hunt angst. But
Chiefs PR might not, but, you know.
Right, well, fair. But I don't mean that as a knock on Clark Hunt. That's just the vibe I get from him. He just wants to blend in. Which also, interestingly enough, I don't get that vibe from either Andy Reid or Brett Veach, which is kind of interesting. Like, Andy Reid wears Tommy Bahama shirts to coaches' meetings. And Brett Veach has been the GM of this team for 47 minutes, and it's already turned around half the roster.
Clark Hunt's the no news is good news kind of guy.
Absolutely.
Instead of the any news is good news?
Yes, 100%. Here, let's play this game really quick.
Okay. What game is this?
I don't have a name for it yet.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we could just call it Clark Hunt Is. And this is going to, again, sound like we're making fun of him, and I don't mean it to be. But here, like, I'll start.
Okay.
I'll serve over to you here, Beards. Clark Hunt is beige.
Okay. Let's see. Clark Hunt is a Ford Escape.
Clark Hunt is a dish of vanilla ice cream with a little chocolate syrup.
Let's see.
Ooh, hit it back to me again.
Okay.
You have to make a little, like, racket sound if you don't have one. Good. Clark Hunt is Subway.
That's pretty good.
It is pretty good, isn't it?
That's pretty good.
In fact, that's pretty good. Actually, start saying things that you like, Beards. Okay, Clark Hunt is pepperoni pizza.
I was going to say Clark Hunt's Papa John's, but I don't like Papa John's.
Clark Hunt is a ham sandwich.
Ham sandwiches are good.
Clark Hunt is Coca-Cola.
Coke's actually really good.
See, this is your sensibilities are very much probably lining up with Clark Hunt.
Clark Hunt is Bones.
The TV show?
Yes.
Weird. Feg is too edgy. Clark Hunt is CSI.
Juan says Clark Hunt is that tan-on-tan car no one wants at the dealership.
Yep. Color of the walls in the studio.
Well, except for the water stains.
That's about right. A little deformity here or there. Like, Clark Hunt has crazy money. There's no way he, like, his hair is not naturally exactly that color.
Oh, I'm sure it's not.
You can't have, you can't own an NFL team and not get hair plugs or something. Like, I would. I don't even need them. I'd get hair plugs on my face so I could grow a fuller beard. If I had NFL owner money, I would get hair plugs on my face. Anyway. Clark Hunt is a Labrador Retriever. It's the default dog. And I think he'd prefer it that way. Also, at this point, I'm guessing that he would take offense to this game. But he wouldn't show it. I just think that's how he prefers things. Even if that, and see, this is where it goes back to Marcus Peters. And now I know that eventually, I'm going to put this on Arrowhead Addict, and the comment sections are not going to have stuck with us through 25 minutes of the podcast.
They're just going to have heard Clark Hunt didn't want Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. This is where it goes back to Marcus Peters. What?
Real quick. Mike says Clark Hunt is Starbucks.
It's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. This is where it goes back to Marcus Peters, though. I think it's totally reasonable to assume Clark Hunt just doesn't want drama. Doesn't want drama. I get it. However, if not wanting drama means that you are going to refuse to sign a dramatic player to his fifth-year option, who actively makes your team better, then that makes you a bad owner. That's the extent of my Marcus Peters Clark Hunt conversation. If you are so drama averse that you make your team worse by sending out a decree from above, which is saying, I'm not saying you have to trade Marcus Peters, but I am saying he's not going to be here next year because I'm not going to sign any more of his paychecks after this season if you keep him through this season. So I'd suggest, once you make that decree, if not just because you don't like his politics or whatever, but because you're drama averse, then that makes you a pretty jello owner, which is another thing that Clark Hunt is. Clark Hunt is red jello. Did you have any more Facebook comments that were any good?
We got a couple.
I saw a couple. I saw you like reading them and snickering, so I'll take a couple more.
Ulysses says, I'd get hair plugs on my face too. I can't grow a beard either.
Yep, okay.
Hashtag unity.
Yes, hashtag unity.
Juan, Clark Hunt is Qdoba.
I think Clark Hunt's Chipotle.
That's pretty good.
Qdoba's a little bit more of a curveball.
Andy says, Clark Hunt is a field goal.
That one's good. I like that.
Zach says, Clark Hunt is Internet Explorer. This one's mean.
No, it is mean.
Internet Explorer is not good.
Well,
like if you said Microsoft Edge, fine. And then Juan finished up with Clark Hunt is Major League Soccer.
Oh, God, that one's also good. Clark Hunt is a field goal is my favorite, though, because it's not an abject failure. It's also not an overwhelming success.
It's 3 points.
It's 3 points. Yeah, no, that's good. That might be my favorite. Clark Hunt is a field goal. Who ordered the code red. By the way, that's the other thing. I don't think that Clark Hunt was Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men demanding or ordering the code red. I don't think there was that scene. Just also, with that result, though, still died.
Mike, Clark Hunt is a living Funko Pop.
That's also pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. Don't hate that one either. Yeah, I'm sticking with Clark Hunt as a field goal. I think that was perfect. Marcus Peters was on NFL Network last night. He said some extremely interesting things about Andy Reid, his own demeanor, and the Chiefs quarterback situation, both this upcoming year and their former quarterback. All those things are extremely interesting. By the way, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM. We're moving over. The FM signal is moving over from 99.3 to 94.5. Add it to your car's presets or you'll never hear from us again.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
What if we could legally, what if we, I wanted to legally change your middle name to Beards? What would that take? If this show was...
I mean, a working computer mouse would be great.
With Joshua Briscoe.
All right, so $8 an hour and a working computer mouse, and you'll change your middle name from Curtis to Beards.
That's a discussion starter.
How much would it take for you to change your name to Dick Justice?
On ESPN Kansas City.
I forgot something else I wanted to talk about in the first segment. This is going around, and it's getting some traction, and I hate it. We've had Nick Jacobs on this show or on Sports Sunday or whatever. I like talking to Nick. But he tweeted yesterday, said there was only so, it was only so long the Chiefs could keep going on the losing streaks they were during the season and having their issues during the year magnified in playoff games. You can't get over the hurdle unless you're willing to change it up. I was content with trading the starting quarterback and cutting four or five defensive starters and replacing a couple more, but I guess if you want to also trade your all-pro corner, I guess that also should help. Yeah. What? No! What do you mean? Like, you understand why that sounds silly, right? They needed to change it up. I agree. I was saying that all year. They traded their starting quarterback, and there's a chance that there will only be three defensive starters that started versus the Titans that will also be starting in week one of 2018. Chris Jones will be there. Justin Houston will be there. Reggie Ragland will be there. Every other position could be different. Seriously. Maybe Steven Nelson's still out there as a third corner. If you're imagining starting in the nickel. The idea that the Chiefs needed to trade Marcus Peters to shake things up is totally ridiculous. They were already going to be replacing six or seven defensive starters. They didn't need to also trade Marcus Peters to make that shakeup happen. Come on. Like, that just, I mean, it's silly. It sounds like there's literally no move that you will criticize. Oh, no, yeah, no, they had to make the move. Had to do it. Gotta shake it up. After already trading their Pro Bowl quarterback from last year. And cutting Derek Johnson or whatever, having his contract run out. And they're going to cut Tom Bahali or he'll retire. And they just cut Ron Parker. They'll probably cut Daniel Sorensen. They're probably going to cut Alan Bailey. Could cut Dee Ford. Brought in Kendall Fuller. He's new. Brought in David Amerson. He's new.
Justin Houston will get traded to Cleveland.
Honestly, at this point, who bleeping knows? But like, you see why that sounds so silly, right? They didn't need to trade Peters to shake things up. This whole thing has been a damn snow globe. Whatever. I just thought that was silly. I think it's a silly excuse to make for a team that doesn't need your excuses. Let them figure it out. Let them tell you why they did it. And if that's the reason they give you, they're also being foolish. All right, Marcus Peters was on NFL Network last night, and the whole thing is pretty interesting. He does a lot of stuff, says a lot of things that are interesting and that will make you miss him, I bet. It did for me. But the first like headline that came out of it came from when Peters talked about his relationship with Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
It's been a crazy little week, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm sitting there and I'm looking at everything, and it's like, man, y'all talking about me and Big Red had issues?
So it was no issues with you and Andy Reid?
Nope. Big Red can come check me like my pops can come check me, and I'll take it as thank you, Big Red, because you know what? He was looking in the best interest for me to become a better player. You know, they already knew that I had some so-called character issues off the field, uh-huh. You know, that happened at UW, and they took me, you know, all they told me was, come on, we're gonna take it and we're going to grow together, you know, and we grew for these 3 years. It was cool. And sometimes it's just business.
Got to move on.
It's just business.
I mean, that's interesting, right? Like, he was talking about, unprompted, who he was going to miss. He said, I'm going to miss my teammates. I'm going to miss Big Red. And then the guy was talking to him, oh, Big Red. And then that's, you know, launches you into this whole conversation. Didn't sound like he had any problem with Andy Reid, which I think is interesting. Now, someone brought up, hey, maybe he had a problem with assistant coaches, and Andy Reid wasn't going to abide by that. I don't know. That's possible. That's fine. But I think that does something to the idea that he and Andy Reid just had this super contentious relationship. It means something whenever Marcus Peters says, yeah, Coach Big Red can come check me. My pops can come check me. That means something. That's not empty. Guys don't say that emptily.
Can I play the other side for 1 second?
Sure.
You don't want to go to a new team and have an interview where you say, yeah, me and my coach didn't get along.
I mean, he's there already. Like, and Sean McVay's different. Wade Phillips is different.
Yeah, but you don't want to walk into
but
that.
But also though,
relationship going, oh, me and my old coach didn't get along.
Even then, I mean, you can go say, yeah, me and Andy Reid didn't see eye to eye. But you don't just pull out of your rear, Andy Reid can check me like my pops can come check me. Like, making Andy Reid a father figure, you don't go that far if you're just trying to paint over some of a bristly relationship. So it's fair. Also, you'll hear Marcus Peters in a second. Actually, let's go ahead and... No, well, the third clip you'll hear will have some of this. But for the record, Marcus Peters didn't seem terribly concerned about not riling anybody up or not, you know, taking any shots from back in Kansas City. You'll hear what he says about the quarterback situation in a little bit. But first, here's just something that made me miss him. This is Marcus Peters talking about his demeanor.
I am a Tasmanian devil because I'm going to go take the ball any way I want, you know. So I need to just be, just let me make plays. Let me bring my energy, you know, because.
And you're not just talking about covering guys. You're talking about blitzing.
I'm talking about doing everything. When I look at football, I look back to C. Wood, how he do things. I look at Deion, how he did things. I look at Tim Bailey, how he did things.
The greats.
You know, you go back to Sean Springs and those dudes, you start really digging into the culture of the cornerback position.
Yeah.
You got to be able to play football. And I don't play football between the lines. I play football on the streets.
Oh, I miss him. Oh, I miss him already. First of all, Tasmanian Devil thing, perfect. The fact that he is going back and studying these guys from the past, I think, matters. He obviously is a guy who's been a student of the game. And they went on a little bit later to talk about, like, you know, what does he mean? They play it in the streets. He's always in a football mindset. That's the exact kind of guy you want. If this was an interview of an incoming corner coming into the draft the Chiefs just signed, I would be playing you these clips and telling you how much I love this new guy the Chiefs just got. So this is all very painful. Also, though, he was asked about playing the Chiefs in Mexico this year when he would face Patrick Mahomes, and they asked him what he thought about Pat Mahomes and Alex Smith and the matchup that he's going to have with Mahomes in Mexico this year.
Talk about Patrick Mahomes, man. You got a chance to go up against him a lot at practice. What are you expecting in this game, and what can fans expect from Patrick
Mahomes? I'm expecting turnovers, and I'm expecting to win.
Oh, you in competitive mode right now. Yeah, you're expecting to get some turnovers off of him.
What?
Already.
He know how to give me the ball.
He know how to give it to you.
He know how to give me the ball.
So did you agree with them moving Alex?
No, man. Alex don't get enough respect. And they need to start putting some respect on that man's name. Because I done seen that man get thrown underneath the bus too many times, and he took it as a man. And he never complained about it. He don't turn over the ball. And he know how to win. That was our fault for messing up the playoffs line.
I mean, Alex Smith had the respect of that locker room and the respect of Marcus Peters. That matters. I think it's interesting. Also, he says that the playoff game was on the defense, which is only partially true, but it is partially true. And also, not on him personally, but I digress. Also, as much as I love Marcus Peters, and I do think he has something to be said about his ability to evaluate quarterbacks, Andy Reid decided that moving on was a good idea. So I'm not, like, second-guessing it right now. That doesn't strike fear in my heart of, oh, no, maybe the Chiefs made the wrong move. because, you know, like the salary cap and value and all of that thing. The things that we've talked about 100,000 times, all that still does matter. Do you have the clip, that one clip, Beard? Just play it. Just play this. Ugh.
I am a Tasmanian devil because I'm going to go take the ball any way I want.
I mean, it's just... like this. Now this defense doesn't have that guy. I mean, they have Eric Berry, who's very good at that, but they don't have a guy who will say, I am a Tasmanian devil.
And it's coming off of an injury.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm aware.
Yeah.
I'm aware of the fact that this Chiefs defense is having a lot of turnover and has injuries to its best players. And yeah, no, no, I'm...
hey, that's okay, though. Justin Houston will be a great coverage guy.
Yes, no, that's true. Justin Houston's... at this point, Justin Houston's the third best corner on the team. Maybe a second. Deeply, deeply upsetting.
I am a Tasmanian devil because I'm going to go take the ball any way I want.
I mean, there's not a fourth and second round pick on the planet that's going to be that good of an audio clip. I wouldn't trade that audio clip for a second and a fourth. While also giving up a sixth. Also, I've been told on Twitter by Robert Smith, who hates me so much for someone who never stops following me. I had been tweeting earlier in the day about all that, the defensive turnover and everything, and he tweeted me, "Nobody cares anymore. In a football trade, move on with your life." I will not. Also, Beard is counting on his fingers right now to figure out if that's the best, worst haiku ever.
I don't think it's a haiku.
It's not a haiku.
No. Nope.
Nobody cares. No, it's not. Even the first line is a qualifier.
Yeah.
It's a bad haiku. But this guy's just always tweeting me stuff like this. And I just quote tweeted with, "I will not." And he responded with, "You must." What does he think I do? Like, does he think I'm doing this like during my lunch breaks at like a insurance sales job? Like, this is, like, me tweeting about this stuff is like part of my job. I mean, I would do it without it being part of my job, obviously, because I did it for a long time before I made any money off of it. And, you know, God knows that my bank account would prefer me be an insurance salesman. But, like, what is... I just don't understand. This guy and guys... and there are plenty of this guy. Of these guys on Twitter. I just don't understand. Like, I would never go find somebody tweeting about the stock market. You know, like, at Stockbroker Insider, tweeting rumblings about the stock market. I would never go tweet that guy and say, "Hey, nobody cares anymore. It's the stock market. Move on with your life." That is my life. My life is tweeting about the Marcus Peters trade. God, that's sad. Whew. This is actually serving as a really harsh wake-up call. Does that sound gross?
It wasn't pleasant.
Okay, sorry. I sometimes do that whenever I'm just kind of stalling for time, making sounds. It's just me, like, just clicking my tongue on the bottom of my mouth. The squishiness is unpleasant.
It's very wet.
Well, see, I've never heard that before. Because whenever I've always heard it in my own mouth and head, it's just the click, see? But whenever you get the squish in there also, no, it's not pleasant. You're right. All right, my deepest apologies for making those squishy tongue sounds. Can you turn my mic up a little bit, please, Beards? Turn it up just a little bit, and we'll go to break.
Never.
Turn my mic up a little bit, please.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
Nope.
You can't define me.
I am in control of your mic.
I'll get you fired in this commercial break.
Good luck.
Yeah, I can't. There's no way. I can't imagine why you wouldn't have wanted to do that.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Play with me!
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Melvin tweeted me, and said, Josh is going to hold on to this until Marcus Peters implodes in L.A. or the rookie corner we draft is voted rookie defensive player of the year. And it's entirely rational. Hashtag scorned fan chronicles. Yeah. Yeah, he's right. Seriously, I give the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt a lot. And I will withhold my optimism on this until I see a reason to relieve it. Until I see a reason to become optimistic again. Like, there's not a logical reason for me to think that this is a good idea right now. If they prove me wrong, then I will admit that. I don't think I've ever... Have I ever not admitted my own wrong analysis? Like, I was...
Well, no. What happens is I make a montage of how wrong you were.
Sure. But in some way or another, this show makes me admit where I was wrong. I was really wrong on the Chiefs-Steelers game this year, and
it's
I was
like
really
an
wrong
intervention.
On the Titans game.
It's like an intervention. We force you to admit you're wrong.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I accept that.
There's no self-reflect here. It's just we throw all of your sins at you, and you go, well, I guess I did this wrong.
Right. And yeah, that's fine. I think that counts. I've never denied any of that. I mean, I was pretty pessimistic about, like, Alex Smith, and he proved me wrong in some areas. Well, ultimately, the end of the season ended up pretty much exactly where I thought it would be.
Even when you're wrong, you're right.
That's exactly... You're damn right. You're damn right I am. Even when I'm wrong, I'm more right than most of you posers. Rumble away. All the way out of here. Forever.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.